Sports Hub headlines.
J.D. Martinez is a member of the Red Sox. It is officially official. He was introduced to the media this morning. Each side had to rework the contract language once his physical showed some wear and tear. Bob Nightingale of USA Today tweeted out earlier today that the Sox had long-term concerns with Martinez's right foot. His agent, Scott Boras, confirmed that. That was the concern, the same foot that suffered a sprained ligament last spring. The deal is still for 5 years, $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. Here's Martinez on the conversations he had with David Price.
Me and David never really talked about that exactly. We kind of just talk about the fans and, you know, how kind of exciting it is to play there. You know, David's always spoken very well of, you know, very highly of the Red Sox, and especially, like, the fan base and pitching in that ballpark and how fun it is to go out there every day and play every day.
One more Red Sox note, neither Steven Wright nor Eduardo Rodriguez will be ready to start the season in the rotation. NHL trading deadline just under 3 hours away. No word as if the Bruins are going to do anything much more than they did yesterday, acquiring Rick Nash from the Rangers. Of course, they also acquired Nick Holden last week and dealt Frank Vetrano for a draft pick. Last night, Bees lost in Buffalo 4-1. They return home tomorrow night, hosting the Hurricanes. Over the weekend, Patriots signed Brandon Bolden to a one-year deal. Meanwhile, Rob Gronkowski, the rumors surrounding the tight end continue to swirl after he sent out a cryptic tweet on Saturday about his future. There is no definitive word on retirement as of yet. Another NFL note, Cincinnati tight end Tyler Eifert. He has been medically cleared to return after undergoing microdisc surgery last season. Finally, sees 2-0 since the All-Star break. They host the Grizzlies tonight. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max at 7 o'clock. Headlines are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If last week's high temperatures caught you off guard, call Awaken 180 Weight Loss and be confident in your warm weather clothes this year. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 12:30.
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sean Miller will be put on administrative leave, or at least should be, while this is being sorted out. And there's no way that DeAndre Ayton could play in a game while this is being sorted out. I mean, this is a question of risk management for the University of Arizona, but it's also a profound disappointment. I know that I'm not going to speak for you guys, but to me personally, you know, I've known Sean for a long time. I actually stood up for him and what I thought was his level of integrity through this whole Book Richardson thing. I didn't think there was any way that he knew about such stupidity on the part of Book Richardson to the extent those allegations were true. But this great reporting by Mark Schlabaugh that reveals this, I can't tell you how disappointed I am. I can't imagine. I mean, this is a career-ending thing for Sean Miller. Career-ending. And I can't imagine. I can't imagine him ever coaching in college again.
At least Jay Billis on ESPN admits that he had been defending Sean Miller. At least he's willing to remind people that he had defended the guy who is, again, I think just doing business as business is done. But Jay Billis is one of the more outspoken people when it comes to the NCAA and their system and the system that they have created. In fact, he is always tweeting about it. And on September 28th of 2017, after the whole Book Richardson thing had started, he had put out a tweet linking to a story that said economists recommend paying college athletes. And he wrote, "Hey, NCAA, are those you charge with educating your students wrong?" Because it was written by a number of economists who are professors, I believe at the University of Chicago, that had written that paying college athletes would be the best road going forward for the NCAA. Someone responded to him on Twitter and said, "Jay, people out here in Arizona are swearing up and down, defending Sean Miller, saying he had no idea what was going on. It's laughable," which it was, completely laughable. "Oh, no, the head coach had no idea." The same way we laugh at Rick Pitino for trying to tell us he had no idea what was going on. It's just the assistants, rogue assistants. And of course, Jay Billis took the bait and said, "No, it is not. I know Sean Miller to be a man of great honesty and integrity. I don't believe for a second he knew of any improper behavior." Like, you're doing yourself a disservice when you won't acknowledge what the hell is going on in the sport. So for all the credit you want to throw and give for, you know, Jay Billis, who I like on the air, I think he's really good. He's great at his job. You want to give him all this credit for being the guy who's outspoken against the NCAA. The guy won't even acknowledge or can't bring himself to acknowledge what the hell goes on in that sport on a regular basis.
No, because
it's so fraudulent to me.
Because for somebody who makes their living, as Jay Billis does,
yes,
as a NCAA analyst and I think he's like one of the top guys, and he's invested. It'd be like
former player,
right?
Guy who's been through it. Guy who played at a big school. He's been doing this job a long time.
If you start admitting to and talking about the obvious fraudulence and the whole smokescreen that is college athletics and college basketball, then you're saying that you're a part of this and that everything you talk about and do is all sprinkled with BS. It's all a lie. It's all a sham. And most fans don't care. I just want to watch some college hoops.
Yes.
Who got paid to be there? Who's not doing the academics? Who's getting paid? Who's got, you know, agreements on the side? It doesn't matter. You know, you still want to watch March Madness. You want to have your office pool. You want to be able to bet on a few games and be done with it. You start getting all holier than thou talking about the student athletes and what they do and what they have to sacrifice. Shut up. Don't make that part of your narrative, and this won't be a problem. But if you do, then you know that you're lying as soon as you say it or write about it. And if you're not going to address it once these stories come out, then you're just sticking your head in the sand and you're losing all credibility. So I listen to and pay attention to what people have to say about college athletics, probably less than any other type of sports, because so few of them are willing to address the obvious glaring problems with college sports that to me their commentary is next to useless. If you're not going to talk about, you know, what these kids are doing and whether or not they're getting paid or should be getting paid, and you just want to, if you want to have glowing stories about the programs that do it right and the ones that do it wrong and this, oh, shut up.
Right.
I just want to watch the games, and it's one of the reasons why we don't talk a lot about college sports here is because the main story, I think, with
BC's
most college...
not paying well enough. UMass not paying well enough.
Well, the main story with most college sports
hockey's
is...
hockey's really good here, but I don't think that's a sport where guys really get paid.
Yeah, how filthy is it?
Not that filthy.
Yeah, how dirty is it? And as a result, they're not that good. If we talk about pro sports, because the filthiness is pretty much out there in the open.
Yes.
And we do talk about it when stuff runs afoul of the rules, whether it's drug related, whether it's errand footballs. Yes, all that stuff
right.
is up for grabs on a normal. But no, you can't talk about that when it comes to the college. Well, why not?
I just think we're not going to talk about it at all. Because the guy who is the most outspoken and does get the credit for being the most outspoken for a high profile analyst in college basketball, Billis speaks out against the NCAA more than anybody. And you know what I'm starting to realize? The NCAA is an easy target. Easy target. Sean Miller had one of his assistants being hauled away by federal authorities on his way to the penitentiary, and you've still got this guy saying, oh no, Sean Miller, man of integrity. Listen, I don't care that he was talking on the phone about the $100,000, but can we at least be honest about the situation? Can we just use some common sense? A lot of big money changing hands in this sport. Rick Pitino is now publicly involved in it. Sean Miller is now publicly involved in it. These are big, high-profile coaches at big, high-profile programs. And now, finally, there's some sunlight on what the hell's going on. They're shining a light on it. And now I'm shocked. Can't believe it. And here's the other thing. Is this a career ender? What if we find out there's 20 other coaches doing the same thing? Are they all going to never coach again? I doubt it. He'll find a job somewhere. He'll get another job.
But even if that's the case, Beadle, it doesn't change anything.
Does it upset you?
No.
Doesn't upset me.
Would you take him at UMass?
Absolutely. He's no stranger to the A-10. Used to be at Xavier. Yep, absolutely. You want to sign him up today? I mean, you know, we got something nice going. McCall's in his first year, but Sean Miller wants to... Yes, sure. Yep, what do you need? Cash is a little short compared to what...
The thing is hilarious,
yeah,
by the way.
Oh, just come on.
It's like me saying, hey, guys, we got Brady every week now. You guys are like, wow. And then you're asked by a reporter, hey, how'd you guys get Brady? Oh, I don't know. He wants us. He likes us.
No idea.
He just really likes us.
You'd have to ask the assistants. You'd have to ask the I have no idea. None. I have no idea. So wait, you spend literally more than half your life with this individual. I mean, coaching, traveling, everything you do with this guy, and you had no idea that on the side he was arranging for payments through agents. Okay.
The guy that makes 10 times less than you.
Yeah, that's believable. That's believable. And that sucks, too, that the assistant has to take the fall. So that's a little gripe about this. Of course this is going on. And I'm not, and you know what? The fans don't care. And they're not upset by it. They're not. And Sean Miller will get another job someday if it's not at Arizona. He may even survive this with the way their lawyers are talking. Nah, nothing to see here. There was no payment. Can't find it. 617-779-0985. Open phone lines for you right now. You want to jump on board and talk about this as well.
Are we going to talk about any golf today? Because there's there are two stories that we have to address.
I think you probably want to
address. Nick's already out, so Nick, why don't you take a powder when we talk about golf? Because there is one major development right now in the country's championship, which bears mention. But we should probably talk about a little bit about Tiger and about that wet blanket Justin Thomas over the weekend, too. That little softie.
Okay, we'll do that coming up.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Scott in the car before we get to Hardy and his golf stuff. Scott? Yeah, we got you, Scott. What do you got?
So I went to the University of Arizona, so I've been following this whole thing quite closely. And the comment I want to make is that I think that the fact that this guy Schlabach is releasing information that is completely confidential, right, should be protected by the FBI to the highest degree. He makes this available through whatever source he has, which is probably not that reliable. And now he's trying to take down what is a business. You guys have talked about it. These college basketball and football programs are massive multi-million dollar businesses. And he's going to take it down by obviously getting their coach fired. He's going to get recruiting and sponsors and other donors to reduce the amount of money that's coming into the university. And all this is on hearsay right now. And I think the responsibility of the press to think about the information they release that obviously is confidential should be taken with extreme care, because the libel lawsuit that Sean Miller and the University of Arizona can put on this guy afterwards on the
SBA. And if it's bull crap, he'll file the lawsuit. Let's see it.
Why'd he sit out this weekend? Right? If it was bull crap, then wouldn't Miller be out there this weekend coaching saying, no, that story is bull crap. I'm going to coach my team.
Why is it that every time he was asked a question about this, he said, I'm going to refer to my statement. I'm going to refer to my statement.
He's going to take down the whole sport?
I'm going to refer to my statement.
Take down the business? I'm not taking anything down.
Felt like we were going down the fake news road there.
Oh, we were.
Yeah.
We were.
If this is fake, and maybe it is, but I would say it's a terrible strategy by Miller to sit out this weekend's game and let all of this stuff be said about him. If I feel like this reporter is screwing me over and that this is not a story, I'm out there coaching this weekend saying, nope, I'm here. I'm going to stay here. What you've heard is crap. I'm the coach of Arizona. I'm going to remain here in Arizona. He kind of ran away and tucked his tail between his legs. So, again, it's either that this stuff is not fake news or he's getting terrible advice on how to handle the situation.
I would say he's getting bad advice or... Look, the whole notion that he's somehow unfairly caught up in all this, to me, is a stretch. And yes,
this is confidential buying of players.
And of course, if it's not true and, you know, the guy's been unfairly named and all this and somebody's leaking a story, fine, all good. He'll no harm, no foul. He'll keep his job and all that other stuff. It goes on. It's almost certainly going on there. It's not a completely nonsensical made up story. Yeah, the fake news quotient on this one, I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably pretty low. It's most likely actual news.
But if it turns out to be bull crap, he will sue. We will find all of that out in due time, and we will all apologize profusely for the crazy idea that some guy got paid to play for a major program.
What are we going to apologize for? Goofing on a guy for using a phone to talk about
I'm not mad at him. I'm hiring him at UMass right now.
I think it's
Sean Miller at UMass.
Yeah, I think it's a bad look on his part. I would just say in the future, don't use the phone.
Yes. What are you doing? Again. What, have you never watched TV? Got caught up in all of this. We had a tweet that came in that I think is interesting from Adam, who said, imagine if we still had the sanctimonious Feinstein. How about this? College basketball has a major, relevant, breaking story over the last few days, and we no longer have Feinstein around. Feinstein's been talking college hoops on this show for years. Finally, he's got something to talk about, and he's bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Take that trade.
Oh, I'll take that trade any day of the week. Hardy, what do you got on golf?
All right, so...
Tiger? You want to talk Tiger?
Not so much. I mean, he had a decent tournament. He made the cut. He, you know, still has some issues. There are people encouraged by the way he played. You know, a few more greens, a few more putts, and it's easily a top 10 finish for him, which is pretty remarkable, seeing how he hasn't played that well in 3 years now, and that he can be away from the game as long as he has been and still compete on a very tough course against the top talent. I mean, this was not a joke of a field. This is a real field at the Honda Classic, and the fact that he finished in either 12th or in a tie for 12th, no, that's a solid finish. There's a lot of guys on tour who will not have a finish that high this year.
Not for Louth. Louth had a hair across his ass during the break.
He said, why are people celebrating Tiger?
Hey, he's 12.
Yeah, well, a couple extra shots here, a couple extra shots there, because he's an old guy.
No, because he's coming back from major back surgery. He's the biggest name that golf has had in generations.
Whether you like it or not, Jim, and whether anybody likes it or not, he is a massive draw. And Justin Thomas, who ended up winning the tournament, he was asked about it in his post-round press conference, and he said, or his post-round interview, I should say. And they said, you know, what's it like when Tiger's out there playing on a Sunday? And he said, oh, it's different. He said the roar is you always know where he is on the course. And there's a different type of crowd roar for a Tiger par versus a Tiger birdie. There's just, he said, you absolutely know that he's out there, and it changes the energy and it changes the dynamic of it. So whether you may not think it's any big deal for him to finish in a 12th or a tie for 12th, it matters to the sport if he's going to be out there playing. If he says he's still playing, then if he even plays well enough to make the cut and be there making noise on a Sunday, it's important to the game. That's all. But here's the news coming out.
What's the news?
The U.S. Open, in years past, for as long as I can remember, if they finish in a tie after 72 holes, do you know what the format is for the playoff in the U.S. Open? Do you know what it is for the Masters? Masters is sudden death playoff. Whoever's tied at the end of 72 holes, you go back, I believe, to 18, and you play it again, and then you go play 18 again, then you go to 10, whatever. Sudden death. Whoever, done, right? British Open does a four-hole playoff.
Seen that before.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Like
and you
that.
Count the strokes for all four holes, see who wins. The U.S. Open has done an 18-hole playoff on Monday, and they've done it for years. And it sucks. It totally sucks the life out of the tournament. There was one that I can remember that was worth watching. Speaking of which, it was Tiger Woods.
Tiger in the knee.
And Rocco Mediate.
Yeah.
Right?
What year was that? Like 08?
08.
Okay. All right.
Tiger's playing on a broken leg, and he's, you know, they dueled. They battled it out for 18 holes. But the only reason why you watched it is because it was Tiger. I mean, it's Monday. You got to go back to work. People who are at the tournament go to the U.S. Open, and you're paying your ticket. I got to leave. I got to go. I've been here for 2-3 days. You know, I came from out of town. I got a job. I got a wife. I got a family.
Sure.
You got to leave. So you have very small crowds. You have very low viewership. And you have way too much golf to decide it. So they are going to a two-hole aggregate playoff. So instead of the 18-hole playoff on Monday, nope, we're going to go out and we're going to play two holes. We're going to count all the strokes that it takes you to play those two holes, and that's going to be our winner. I think four at the British Open is great. Three would be awesome. Two seems like a bit light. I'm glad they're not doing sudden death. I think sudden death at the Masters is fine for the Masters. It's an invitational. It's a private tournament. They can do whatever they want.
You know what I'd really like to see?
And you got to get the damn thing over with.
If you're going to do two, you know what I would like them to do? Each player gets to pick a hole on the course.
Ooh. Beetle, you magnificent bastard.
Hardy's, and if they both pick a hole.
They Hardy's both pick the same hole, you play it twice.
Wow.
Oh! Look at Beetle with a good golf idea.
Two consecutive times, or do you hit two balls each tee shot?
No, you play it two times through, Jim. Stop it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Wait, it's ridiculous to say that you each get to pick a hole.
You each get to pick one. Oh, that's awesome.
If they're far apart, do you let them use carts to get there if they're far apart?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They do that anyway. They do that anyway. If it's, you know, they're after... And again, every tournament's different. It's like some tournaments play 18 as their sudden death holes. Some, you know, if you're tied after, you know, you do it a couple of times, then you go to a different
hole.
Plus,
there's like strategy in that. Which hole do you think that you play well? Which hole do you think that your competitor doesn't have an advantage on, that you can kind of bury him? I mean, there's all of that.
That's brilliant. Wow, what a good idea. But it's a great idea that they're doing this because the U.S. Open should end on a Sunday. And it can't always. There's going to be weather delays and there's going to be problems. This isn't going to work forever. But the next time there's fair weather and they end up finished in a tie after 72 holes, that two-hole playoff is going to be brilliant. So much better than the... God, there was Retief Goosen and somebody else played in one year that I couldn't tell you who won. Probably Goosen because he was playing well at the time, but who cares? 18 holes on a Monday when everybody has a life to get back to. Stop it.
Nick Cattle's fired up today about Brandon Cooks and a column and some thoughts presented by Ben Volen in the Globe yesterday. Why don't we pick up that conversation where we left off? And we'll do that coming up after headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
The NHL trading deadline today at 3 o'clock. Bruins acquired Rick Nash from the Rangers yesterday. Nash debuted for the Bees last night. They lost in Buffalo 4-1. Bruins host the Hurricanes tomorrow night. There have been some moves in the NHL. The Blackhawks dealt winger Ryan Hartman in a pick to the Predators for a couple picks, including a 2018 first-rounder and a player. The Blues acquired a first-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and prospect Eric Foley from Winnipeg in exchange for Paul Stastny. J.D. Martinez officially announces a Red Sox at a press conference this morning. The Red Sox and Martinez's agent, Scott Boras, reworked the contract language due to the Sox long-term concerns with Martinez's right foot. The deal is still for 5 years and $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. Over the weekend, the Patriots signed Brandon Bolden to a one-year deal. Dante Scarnecchia will also reportedly return to the Pats for the 2018 season. And finally, the Seas are 2-0 since returning from the All-Star break. They'll be back home tonight hosting the Grizzlies. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max will start at 7 o'clock. Headlines are brought to you by the Great American Franchise Expo. Meet franchise pros at the DCU Center March 3rd and 4th. The first 100 attendees receive a free VR headset. Details at FranExpoUSA.com. I'm Nick Attles. Next headlines come up at 1 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I have no clue what this is.
Mommy's all right. Daddy's all right.
You guys do.
They just seem a little weird. Surrender, surrender. But don't give yourself away. Hey, hey.
How do you not know Cheap Trick?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now throw a fiddle in there and make it more like your precious Dave Matthews Band.
I will
you might
say.
Enjoy it.
I will say that, because I don't like any other music than Dave. I will say, you guys a lot better as a tandem than Zoe and Bertrand.
We're much more...
Singing, you mean?
Yes.
Oh. We pay a lot more attention to intonation and pitch. You notice there was a little harmony there?
Yeah, there was a little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Zoe doesn't know the lyrics 60 to 70% of the
time.
That
is true.
And he's very pitchy. Very, very pitchy dog.
A little
so
pitchy.
There's
little
that problem. Pitchy. He's a little tone deaf.
If it had one obnoxiously long guitar solo in there to make it a little more jam bandy, you probably would have dug it. But sorry, it's just, you know, first chorus verse, Cheap Trick, four on the floor, rock and roll style. That's American rock and roll, okay? Not that South African garbage that you love.
Listen, just because you don't like the music I listen to doesn't mean you can disparage it.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I mean. I just simply said that.
No, I'll disparage really you for not knowing Cheap Trick Surrender. That's
I apologize 1,000 times, Hardy.
Unacceptable.
What a sin.
Hey, do you want to talk about one more thing about the tournament yesterday? Justin Thomas, the guy who won it. Yeah.
I should talk about my Mexican vacation coming up to go see Zach Brown. That'll really get you going.
I want to refine Nick Cattles' rage today on Brandon Cooks, but first, golf.
Just fine.
Very
quick.
I want to refine his rage.
I like that.
Justin Thomas on the 16th hole yesterday, he was hitting his tee shot, and as it was in the air, somebody yelled, like, "Get in the water!" And then when it was obvious it wasn't going in the water, he said, "Get in the bunker!" And Justin Thomas, he got picked up on camera, said, "Who said that?" And apparently he identified the guy who said it. He's like, "Oh, yeah, you enjoy yourself? Well, your day's over. You're out of here." And he had him thrown out. You child.
Good for the sport.
You baby.
That's great for the sport. That's really going to help.
Now, I'm not the guy who's going to yell "you to man" or "mashed potatoes" or "Baba Booey" at a golf tournament. But people who do it, whether I like it or not, yeah, you can do it. Of course you can. And you can absolutely talk a little trash. Why not? These guys are so babied. They're such babies.
You're out of here, pal.
Had the guy thrown out. Reminds me of the guy who won the U.S. Open a few years ago, Webb Simpson. A guy rushed the podium and like tried to grab the trophy. He said, "Have fun in jail." Oh, you little spoiled country club silver spoon obnoxious jerk. Oh, I can't take it. That's what's killing it.
By the way, got some tweets about if there's more than two players in the tie, what do you do?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, you could say if there's three players, it's rare. But if there are...
How rare is it, Beetle? What are the numbers?
If it's rare, play a third hole. How hard is that? That's when you get three.
I don't think you can change the format based on the number of players.
It's his rule.
I mean,
it's all made up anyway.
How hard is that to follow?
Yeah, everybody gets to pick a hole. Don't. What really?
No.
That's what's going to set you off?
It's only Monday.
You can't handle that.
I lost it when Jim started laughing. When Jim laughed.
Yeah, but Jim's on short-timer mode anyway.
When Jim loses it, that's why I lose
Jim's it. Going on vacation in a couple of days, so we'll grant him a little leeway. You need to be better.
But I'm not.
No, you're not. But
I'm not.
Try to be.
All right, so we discussed earlier what Ben Volen wrote in the Globe over the weekend about Brandon Cooks, who is set to make $8.459 million with 1 year left on his deal. And Volen says you either got to try and get an extension done for Cooks or cut him. No in between. You cannot let him play for the $8.459 million. This was his summary of the season, saying he had a nice season, catching 65 passes for 1,082 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he led the team with a 16.6-yard average. Said he also had the lowest catch percentage of the team's wide receivers, was non-existent on third down. Had trouble getting on the same page as Brady. Didn't fight for the ball, showed no physicality, lacks football awareness, as was perfectly demonstrated in the Super Bowl with his two baffling, costly runs. As you can tell, I'm not the biggest fan. That's what Volen wrote. Okay. He's saying you either extend or cut. There's no in between. I don't know what the motivation for Brandon Cooks to extend would be. As a free agent, there's going to be probably more money available to him. Maybe he doesn't value every last dollar. Maybe he values in a big way playing with Tom Brady for however many years Tom Brady will continue to play. Maybe that's important to him. And if it is, good for him, good for the Patriots. They'll be able to have a happy marriage and they'll get their extension done. I feel like this has sent, this story has sent Cattles into orbit, man. He is upset about this story today. I can just tell. This one's grinding his gears today. So I got to ask you, Nick, is it the idea that they would cut him or the idea that he's just a nice player that aggravates you more? I want to refine Nick Cattles' rage on this story.
The idea to cut him. The idea that you would cut a 24-year-old wide receiver that had, what, 1,100 yards last year?
He's still so young.
I mean, you look at the receivers that are going to be in the draft this year. He is, at most, a year older than most of those guys, okay? Like, you look at the top receivers that are going to be available via draft, he's right there in the same ballpark. Why would you ever cut a guy that you used a first-round pick on last year that played some really good football for you? This isn't about the flaws. We can look at the flaws. We can point them out. Yes, he's not a physical receiver. Yes, he did not run through all of his routes. We all saw that. We all saw that. They had issues on third down. But let's not forget, he was really the most dependable guy on that offense, aside from Rob Gronkowski when you talk about receivers. Malcolm Mitchell was out. Edelman was out. Amendola played 40% of the snaps. Hogan was out for a long stretch. So you tell me. You tell me what you expected from Cook. 65 catches, over 1,000 yards, 7 or 8 touchdowns, and he was playing within the offense that was not originally sculpted for him. I mean, this was a change in the offensive scheme on the fly because of all those injuries. You get Cooks to play outside the numbers. You get Cooks to play deep. You get Cooks to beat teams in their intermediate areas. And so when you have guys underneath like Edelman, Amendola, and others, that opens up the rest of the field for guys like Cooks. Cooks is not going to run every route on the route tree. He's not going to be the Edelman of the world. That's not how he plays. And if that's what you expected, then of course you're going to be disappointed. I never expected that kind of receiver in Cooks. Know what you're getting. And to cut him, so you're just going to cut him. Instead of paying him $8.5 million, which I think is somewhat of a fair contract when you look at that position and what he produces for you. So instead of paying him that or trying to trade him, you're going to cut him if he doesn't take your long-term deal?
It doesn't seem like the best way out, no.
No, it's hideous. I mean, with all due respect, Ben Volen, you're just going to cut a 24-year-old receiver that played pretty good football for you.
It's bold, though. I like anybody with a bold initiative.
It's certainly that. It's certainly bold.
617-779-0985. That, and also Rick Nash to the Bruins, J.D. Martinez to the Red Sox. We've got all that on the table today. Open phone lines for you here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand. It is no longer wise to ignore it. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hell, my friend. It seems your eyes are troubled, care to share your time with me. Would you say you're feeling low and so a good idea would be to get it off your mind?
Try to put Nick in his happy place? How you doing there, Jim? Pat's in Boston. I'm Brandon Cooks. Hey, Pat.
Hey, what's going on? Hi. No, I just heard what you guys said that Bowman said in his article, and I think that's absurd. Well, he just sounds like someone who's still upset that they lost the Super Bowl, like a real homo. Like, oh, you know, either do it for the Patriots or get out of here. That's not it. At $8.5 million, that's a bargain. That's probably at a minimum 25 teams that would pick him up for $8.5 million.
I wouldn't call it a bargain. I wouldn't call it a bargain, but I think what other choice do you have?
Yeah, what other deep downfield threat do you have?
What's
have
next?
Any.
Who's your guy outside if you move on from Cooks and you
forget about deep
and you cut him? Or yeah, you trade him. Let's say trade him. What do you do?
No.
You're banking on Malcolm Mitchell?
But don't get the issue confused, at least for me. I'm not concerned about him being a deep downfield threat because, quite frankly, he wasn't very good in some of those situations.
Yeah, but isn't that why he's here?
Ready?
I think he's taking the top off the defense. Yeah. Oh, I mean, they acquired him for that role.
Stop it.
But that's who he's supposed to be.
Jim's trolling.
Let's, Bertrand, let's play this game quick, okay? Tavon Austin, how much average year is his contract? $10.5 million. I would take Brandon Cooks over him any day of the week. Alan Hearns makes $10 million. That's debatable. Randall Cobb makes $10 million. Randall Cobb is useless now. Jordy Nelson had a bad year. He makes 9.7. Pierre Garçon makes $9.5 million. Michael Crabtree makes $8.5 million. Kenny Stills makes $8 million. Ben Volen, stop it. Stop it. Should have stopped typing before you get to the word cut.
Okay, it was a bold take, and what? He's given us
No, because this is part of his deal, right? This is the whole Trolin Volin thing. This is part of his.
He says he's not a Brandon Cooks fan.
Do you think the Patriots like that he has an $8.5 million cap
hit?
No, they don't like it.
No, but do you think they'd ever entertain the idea of cutting him?
No, I don't think they will.
Okay, that's my point.
But
I'm not saying you have to love the cap
hit. But nothing they do shocks me anymore. So I think anything is in play when you're talking about the Patriots.
I don't think they. Again, you dealt a first-round pick for the guy. He had a good season, considering the circumstances. Does he do everything great? No, I'm not saying that. Not saying he's a flawless player. Not saying he's a top 10 receiver. I'm saying he's productive.
They liked the guy enough to give up a first-round pick for him.
Yeah. And the circumstances surrounding the situation, when they gave up that first-round pick, they thought they would have a complimentary receiver with the other pieces that they had when they made that deal. It's similar when people freak out and go, I can't believe Belichick didn't trade Garoppolo for the fourth pick overall. Like that's not how it works. Like that deal would have been Houston's pick. Deshaun Watson was healthy. He blew his ACL out like 2 days after the deal. Okay, so yeah, if Houston has Watson, they make the playoffs. That pick's not number four overall. That pick might be number 23 overall. So it's just, you have to understand when these deals are made, the circumstances surrounding those deals at the time. You can't predict what's going to happen with, you know, four of your receivers going down if you're Belichick.
But I also hate the notion that they have to do something in order to protect the fact that they gave up the first round draft pick in order to get him. And I understand this is how all teams think, and it's not unique to the Patriots or to football or anything else, but it's like, oh, you just can't release him. If it's not working out, even if you gave up a high draft pick in order to get him in a trade, then I don't care.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
It's more for a lot of teams, that, and I think GMs, and again, Patriots aren't immune to this. They get caught up with how it's going to look if they had to just release their first or second round pick, which they've had. Who was the second rounder that they released?
I mean, let's just talk about Jordan Richards, who played in Super Bowl 52. His ass should have been cut a long time ago. He's a second round pick.
The Patriots a couple of years ago.
Well, Cyrus Jones was a second round
pick.
But he's not released. He's still here.
That's right.
But that was a couple of years in.
Yeah.
No, teams are reluctant to do it, and I've always puzzled at that. I'm like, what, do you think it's going to look bad? You think people are going to laugh at you?
I mean, I agree with that.
Get over it.
I agree with that. I mean, Richard should not be on this team. Jordan Richard should not be an NFL player, let alone taking snaps in the Super Bowl. So my point is that Cooks was worth the first round pick last year. If he was useless, yeah, then they would cut him. They'd let him go. But
can I play devil's advocate on this? This is not my take. I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Sure.
The Patriots offense didn't skip a beat when they didn't have him on the field in the Super Bowl.
I would say, you know, you had a healthy Hogan, you had Amendola that you were playing more snaps for, and you were going against a defense that secondary sucks. And I would say, I would come back and say, well, will we take that one game sample size? Or I would ask you, Beetle, where would this team be last year without Brandon Cooks? Take Brandon Cooks off of that offense with no Edelman, with no Mitchell, with Amendola getting limited snaps, with Hogan being hurt. Where would that offense be without Brandon Cooks?
Well, this is sort of my point about going into next year. They're stuck for this reason. How deep do you really think they are offensively? Rob Gronkowski has not committed to returning, publicly.
It's true.
Okay? Danny Amendola is not getting younger. He's getting older, and his snaps are managed in the regular season as they were last year. Yes, when it comes to money time, you want Danny Amendola on the field. But his snaps, managed.
Yep.
Chris Hogan dealt with injuries. Malcolm Mitchell has a bad knee and didn't even make it onto the field this year. I hope he's great, but I don't know that he is, and nobody knows that he is.
How about your left tackle? I know that's not the sexy skill position, but even your left tackle, you look at, you know, if Solder walks.
And Edelman's coming off an ACL.
Your quarterback's going to be 41,
too. Too.
And your quarterback's going to be 41, too, which I think we all expect Brady to play well, but you can't dismiss the idea that your quarterback's 41 with all of these other things going on with your depth chart.
Which just goes back to the start of this. Should you really be considering, even if it is a little costly and it's not ideal, because $8.5 million is not ideal for Brandon Cooks, is that the type of thing you should bite the bullet on? I think you probably should. I don't think you have much of a choice.
And I think because Brady likes him. If Brady were really fed up with the guy, even after, you know, a couple of miscues here and there, quitting on that one route on his, you know, take the top off the defense long ball dropping a ball. There was a game toward the end of the season where he had back-to-back bad plays.
Yeah, Brady, Titans playoff game.
Thank you. Brady kept going to him again and again and again. And it wasn't, look, there are other guys out there that he could have, that he had other options, not a ton, especially with Edelman being out and other guys limited. It's just the case where I think if he were really soured on Cooks, you wouldn't have seen him target him as many times as he did. So Brady likes him. So for that reason alone, you should consider biting the bullet on that $8.5 million if that's what it takes to keep him on for another year.
I mean, it's just amazing. Like, you look at the AFC Championship game.
I don't think they will. I think they'll come to terms with an extension.
Everybody tends to remember the bad, right? That's what you're going to remember. The AFC Championship game, Cooks was terrific. He drew two deep pass interference calls. He had, 100 yards receiving. He absolutely owned A.J. Bouye. Then he walked into the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, we don't know. It's all hypothetical. It's theoretical. But I think he would have had a really good game, and he was on his way to doing that against those corners. And then he got croaked. But, you know, you look at the AFC Championship game. What was the narrative coming out of that game? Oh, well, if you look at how he played in that game versus the Tennessee game, it certainly looks like he's improving. People were talking about his route running was improving. And now all of a sudden the season's over. You lose the Super Bowl. He gets croaked. So it's, you know, you might have to cut him, which I just think is absurd. I mean, I think I could say, anybody could say that they like the player. The player has some flaws. I don't think there are a lot of people out there saying cutting Brandon Cooks would be a good idea. I just can't envision somebody saying that's a legitimate option. Sorry, Ben Volen. Ben Volen is.
I mean, he's going to extremes, though.
That's what I mean.
He's saying you either keep him around long term,
yes,
that he's worth having if his cost is managed, or you get rid of them altogether.
Yeah, so either multi-year deal or hack them. Yeah. Interesting.
It's Bolden's back, Beetle.
Yes,
that's
he
depth
is.
In the backfield.
Yes. Yes, he is. Brandon Bolden. You know what, Jim? I don't have a problem with Brandon Bolden, the special teamer. Never have.
Yeah, just don't give him snaps as a running back.
Yeah, just don't put him on offense.
Don't put him on offense on third and one, then hand it to Brandon Cooks on
Yeah, no, that was moronic. That was a bad play call in the Super Bowl. It was not a good one.
A little too sexy, you would say, Beetle, on that?
Well, no, it's just too, you're, something's up. When all of a sudden Brandon Bolden's in the huddle and you're the Eagles' defense, if you had done your work, your homework, you would know that something was going on there. I mean, in the middle of the broadcast, Zo goes, up, here comes the jet sweep. Brandon Bolden's in the huddle.
That play.
And there it was. It happened.
And you give it to Cooks.
Cooks trying to hurdle, guys.
Yeah, put his crotch right in the face mask of the dude. And that's Cooks, we all knew, at least a lot of people wrote about this before the season. He's not great with the football in his hand, so don't run a lot of jet sweeps to him, especially when you're talking about in the red zone. It's just, I mean, the idea of putting Bolden out there, the idea of running that sweep with Cooks and not Chris Hogan, who is much, much better when it comes to breaking through physically tackles and gaining the extra yard. And that short yardage situation, if you're going to run that jet sweep, which I don't love to begin with, run it to Hogan. Don't run it to Cooks, a guy who historically drops as soon as he gets touched.
It has. I don't hate the sweep. I just hated it in that spot. I don't hate the play. The play has worked for them at times.
Yeah, but they usually run that jet sweep. In the red zone, they ran it to James White out of the shotgun. And then usually when they run that with Cooks, it's not inside the 20 because he has more room to kind of manage and finagle and to get a couple of yards. When the field is shortened up like that, to give Cooks the football, you know he's going to have to most likely make a move or two to gain that extra yard. I would rather trust Hogan in that situation than Cooks.
See, I don't mind it to Cooks because they've used it and it's worked for Cooks at other points in the season. They used it in the Saints game. They've used that play. Third and one is not where I'd be using it. That's all. That's not the spot. They used that against the Dolphins. Do you remember when he ran it against the Dolphins and scored the touchdown? No. I mean, they've run it successfully.
So you and I agree. What I'm saying is,
and that was, again, second down plays, not on third down.
Yeah, I mean, you and I agree. Don't run the play. I'm saying if you run the play, short yardage like they did, I'd run it with Hogan because I have more trust.
I wouldn't run it at all in short yardage.
No, I agree. I
don't
agree
do
with
it.
That. I'm
don't
just,
do it.
I agree.
Don't do it.
But if you run it with, it's just like two errors.
Yeah,
you pick the
I'm
wrong play
him
and
off
then
the
you
hook
pick
though either. I'm not letting Brandon the play that he got hurt on. That was I blame him.
No,
I blame Brandon Cooks for the way he
well, that was a different play. I mean, that was
yeah, totally different play. I blame him for the way he left the game. 617-779-0985. We can pick this up 90 seconds from now.